proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We have a great question for you today. Does God speak to you in a still, small voice? Does God still speak through to your ears? And do you hear audible voices of God? We often hear people say this, that God told me this, that God told me I should do this, or God told me that I should do that. Is that right? We're going to consider this great subject today on Abounding Grace Radio. How does God speak to us? Thanks today for tuning into the program. Please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. Grateful you take time out of your day to tune into the program. Well, on this Friday session of Abounding Grace, we have again with us Dr. R. Scott Clark. We're always grateful to have you, Dr. Clark, on the program. Thanks again for being with us.
I am happy to be here. Thanks, Chris.
Has God ever talked to you, Scott? I'm just curious because I hear this all the time from Christians, and it's really hard to answer because you know they're claiming a subjective experience that God off in the corner had a private conversation with them. So how do we process this this idea that God still adds and gives revelation through audible speech to us in our private corners?
Well, what you and I think want the listener to do is to be skeptical of that. And there are good, solid biblical reasons for that. But before we do that, I want to sympathize a little bit. Yep. You and I have experience in broader Christianity. I wasn't always Reformed. I started off as a broad evangelical. And I remember being taught very early on, this would be about 1976, that the Lord speaks to us in a still small voice, and you know, that's the old translation from 1 Kings 19:12. And Christians ought to listen and learn to hear the still small voice and practice. And we read books on prayer, about how to listen for the still small voice. And you need to do this, as you were told, as you make decisions. So you're deciding whether to take a job or buy a house or marry someone or pick a college. You need to pray and listen for a still small voice. So this is a really important part of the Christian piety for a lot of people.
Right.
And the reasoning is powerful. Christians hear still small voices. And it's in the Bible. You know, Elijah heard a still small voice. And so, and we want to think, that God is alive and active, and he absolutely is. And if he's alive and active, then he's still speaking. Well, he is, but the question is where and how. And the assumption is that he speaks to us outside of Scripture. And this is widely held, and you can find lots and lots of people. And even well-known Orthodox Bible teachers will tell you that God speaks outside of Scripture. One of them even says that, well, the Holy Spirit continues to reveal himself outside of Scripture, but those revelations might be true, they might not be true, which is remarkable to think about, the Holy Spirit giving errant revelations. The Holy Spirit. Now, we're not, think about that. The same Holy Spirit who gave the Word of God now also gives apparently errant revelations, and they appeal to Agabus, who was a prophet who they argue made a mistake. And that was a Spirit-given, mistaken prophecy. And I've been in the presence of people who have named a date, named a prophecy by name, and a date, a revelation, they mean, when they say prophecy, they don't mean a prediction of the future. They mean a revelation that is canonical, that's an authoritative word of God, that's outside the Holy Scripture. And they had a name for this, and they had a date for it. I'd never heard of it until I heard them say it. I still, to this day, don't know what was in the revelation. So this is widespread. And so you and I have to understand, and I want the listener to know that we are swimming upstream, and that most everybody today seems to believe that they're getting revelations outside of Scripture.
Right.
But what we want to do is look at Scripture and look at 1 Kings 19 and see if that is what this passage is teaching, that believers have a right to expect specific guidance in answer to prayer, specific revelation about specific instances or questions outside of Scripture? That's the question.
See, this is really important. I appreciate your sympathy at the beginning, because for some people this will just be shocking that God doesn't do this. And I always, you know, when we're hearing a subjective experience, is it something that people have made up? Is it something that in their subconscious they've experienced? How do we process that when we have people tell us this? Because it's pretty hard, Scott, to come along and tell somebody, yeah, I heard a voice. Yeah. No, you didn't. Right?
Sure.
And then we'll look at the principle of it. And I'd like you to expound the passage. But it's, how do we get away from the offense of first somebody's subjective experience that they're saying? What did they hear?
Well, we need the listener to be willing to subject everything that they say, think, and do to the Word of God.
Amen.
And because the Word of God, the Scriptures, are the sole ruling, final authority for the Christian faith and the Christian life. So I have known lots of people who've had lots of interesting experiences, and what they have done in some, maybe many, maybe all cases, is to have an experience of some kind and then interpret that experience. So there's a difference between what happened and how you interpret it. Mm. And so, you know, I have known people who, when they have an upset stomach, don't just have an upset stomach, they have a demon.
Right, right. Right?
And so, I understand why people do that, because they're trying to sort of interpret everything that they experience, in a sense, imposing a biblical grid on it, or acting or thinking as if they were in Scripture, as if they were the Apostle Paul. Well, here's the difference. If you and I were to vacation, our families, you know, were to vacation on Malta, and if we were to be bitten by a viper on Malta, I'm pretty sure I know what would happen, what you and I would do. We would call the Maltese version of 911, right? When the Apostle Paul got bitten by a viper on Malta, what happened? He threw it off.
Right.
And the guy next to him says, well, that Paul's a dead man. Did Paul die from the viper? No, he didn't die from the viper. Why? Because he's an apostle. Right, he was stoned, he was drowned, he was taken up to the third heavens. He did all kinds of extraordinary things. The apostles put people to death, they raised people from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth is that we, you and I, and the listener, none of us are apostles. We are just ordinary Christians reading the Word of God, muddling through the Christian life, and struggling day by day to put to death the old man and to be made alive in the new. That's the reality. And I know there are listeners who are thinking, oh crud, that's terrible, I don't want to hear that. I want to be an extraordinary Christian. I want to have my best life now. I want to have, I want to be an apostolic Christian. Well, the truth is, you're not. I'm sorry.
What is at stake here is the integrity and what we believe about sola scriptura, what we believe about the Scriptures. Are they sufficient? With the whole issue of, is God still speaking? I remember hearing years ago a pastor, and a young man came to him and said, Pastor, God told me last night that I should go into the ministry.
Yeah.
And the pastor said, well, that's funny. God didn't tell me you should go into the ministry. You're not going into the ministry. And I think that illustrates the point that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. We have that inspired.
Yeah.
So you're not getting your own personal revelation from God. God never gave it that way, in the sense that it was intended for the whole. It was intended to be read by the whole. And that's why I think that passage in Hebrews in a new covenant ministry is so important, when it said God in various times, various ways, in various times, and in various manners, in different ways, he spoke in times past, right? We had dreams, we had visions, God sent his prophets, God would speak with his prophets would go out and speak just what he said. Through the Old Testament, we see these phenomenons of the ways that God spoke, much more infrequent than we think, but it was a phenomenon in the Old Testament. This is how God spoke. But Hebrews makes very clear, in these last days, that's the days we're living, he's spoken through his Son, and his Son has given us, by the inspiration of the Spirit, a word.
Yeah.
A word that we don't have... we don't have the ability to play fast and loose with. We submit to that word, and that word has told us. God is not adding to that revelation through still small voices today.
When Jesus was confronted by the devil in the wilderness, and the devil tempted him, How did Jesus respond? Now think of this. God the Son incarnate, the one of whom the Apostle John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? That one became incarnate. That one took on flesh. So God the Son, who is the Word, the revelation of God, he's in the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil. What does he do? He appeals to the written Word of God.
Right.
If there was ever anybody who could say, listen, I'm having a word from the Lord. Right. And again, this I understand this kind of stuff happens, and people mean well, and they right. think of this as a way of affirming the vital ongoing work of God in the world. You know, as Sister Amy Semple McPherson used to say, you know, God is not the great I was; he's the great I am. I understand that, but if our Lord Jesus appealed to the written word of God to rebuke the devil, that should set a pattern for us. And the Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I mean, right. Scripture is Holy Spirit inspired.
Right, and he says it's God breathed and is profitable for, it gives you everything you need. I think what is always the test case is look at people who are claiming extra revelation, voices from God. If you look at the ministries, and by the way, you can see this in Pentecostalism very strongly. It becomes a sort of second blessing that you need to really be a Christian. You know, if I'm getting voices and you're not, what does that say about you, right?
That's not just Pentecostalism. That's everywhere. When I was in a broadly evangelical congregation, we were told that every Christian needs to be hearing directly from the Lord apart from Scripture. And not just to affirm that Scripture is true, but a distinct revelation, so that if you were pious enough, if you prayed hard enough, if you listened closely enough, if you were faithful in your quiet time, the Lord would tell you directly and personally whom to marry, whom to date, you know, where to go to college, which job to take. And, you know, this thing turned into, in the 80s and 90s, the Kansas City Prophets in the 80s, where people were standing up and saying, right. in services, the Lord told me you should sell me that 57 Chevy you have in your garage. And you think I'm kidding.
But, no, you can. Pastors have gotten rich doing this.
Well, in this case, these were members of congregations who were getting prophecies. I was in a meeting in England where a woman stood up and sang a prophecy from allegedly from the Holy Spirit, a live, direct prophecy. And the interesting thing was the musical director in that service apparently was getting a competing revelation because he was trying to play her off the stage with his guitar. So I mean,
right?
So.
Right.
That was very telling, right?
And this is what happened with Mormonism. I mean, Joseph Smith claimed the same thing on the Urim and the Thummim.
Sure,
right? The angels gave him another testament of Jesus. How do you can't validate any of this at that point? If you've opened that door, you've undermined the Scripture. And that's the point I want to make: is that look at what happens to the Scriptures. Look at what happens to the inspired written Word of God when we open that door. It always is sidelined to the purpose of whatever our agendas are and whatever we want.
Well, that's what Muhammad claimed, that he had gotten a new revelation that superseded the previous revelations. And this is what, you know, our Roman Catholic friends are effectively claiming ongoing, continuing revelation by the Holy Spirit through the Church, which in effect supersedes Scripture. Because she admits, for example, that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and baptism, and he instituted the cup and the bread in the supper, but I'm the Church, she says. And so because we are the Church, we can change these things. We have, in effect, a continuing revelation from the Spirit. So it leads into all kinds of trouble, whether it's Christian Science or whether it's at the old school Adventism, right, or Jehovah's Witnesses. All of these are based on claims of, to one degree or other, continuing revelation from God.
And then we're never sure, ultimately, what truth really is. That's the great tragedy. We never can be confident together on what the truth is.
And
everyone has their own private version of the truth, and it all contradicts each other.
And it all leads away from Christ.
That's exactly right.
David Koresh in Waco led, you know, responsible, apparently, rational people. One of them was a theology teacher who gave up his job in Hawaii, moved to Waco, Texas, and ended up dying in that terrible fire in Texas, all because they were desiring to hear an ongoing extra-biblical revelation from a living prophet, rather right. than being satisfied with the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God.
Right. Look, just, and the point here is, look, if you don't believe us, look at the abuses in history of the cults and what they do to people with this great claim. It is the most damaging, hurtful thing you can do. You can absolutely control people, manipulate them, take them, use them, abuse them with this claim. This is why we're saying God has given us His holy, inspired Word. We stay there. This is His Word to us. I want to go now, since we have some time left, to this great passage everyone uses, right? Yeah. The still small voice passage, because people claim that. Listen, didn't this happen? Didn't this happen to Elijah? Didn't he get a still small voice from God? Let me read it and let's interact a little bit with it, because I would think this is the passage people appeal to in this discussion. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And that's what Elijah heard. People claim God speaks in a still small voice. How do we answer that? And maybe it helps to just say, what is the point in this passage? Is that what it's really communicating to us?
Exactly. That, I mean, one of the great crimes, I guess, of this whole discussion is that it's a terrible abuse of this passage. Now, this is the Word of God, and it's absolutely true in everything that it says. But what it doesn't say is that God gave a still small voice to Elijah, and He'll give one to you too. Right, because that's the assumption that people bring to the passage, and the conclusion, the illegitimate conclusion, which they draw from it. Now, what's the point here? Well, God's people are in a bad way, and Elijah has been faithful, right? And he's concerned, and it's true when he says, "I have been very zealous or jealous for Yahweh, the God of the heavenly armies." But the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, right? And so the people of Israel have become unfaithful. They've killed the prophets, and I'm the last one left out of the whole school of prophets. And so Yahweh says, "Fine, you've done all these wonderful things. Go, right? Go stand on the mount before Yahweh." And Yahweh, the Lord, passes before him, and then we see what we see, right? There's a strong wind and an earthquake and a fire, and Yahweh was not at any of these things. Now, where was he? Well, he was in the still, small voice, or as the ESV translates it, in a low whisper. And the point is, listen, you are not the Savior, Elijah. You're not in charge of all this. I'm Yahweh. I'm the Lord. I'm the sovereign God who delivered my people out of Egypt. I'm the sovereign God who elects from all eternity in Christ unconditionally. I'm in charge of all things everywhere at all times, all places, not you. I can do what I want. You work for me. And the whole point of this is to say to Elijah, listen, I appreciate your faithfulness, but I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And just because I'm not doing things the way you think I ought to do them doesn't mean that I am not yet doing what I want to do, and that is having a remnant, an elect remnant, 7,000 who have not yet bowed the knee to Baal. They haven't, and they're not going to, because they're my people. They are the elect among the visible people. That's the point of this passage. It has nothing to do with continuing revelation outside of Scripture. It's a terrible abuse of Scripture for people to appeal to this passage to justify extra-canonical revelation.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a terrible hermeneutic, and it's what people do to the Bible all the time. Listen, you can take any verse of the Bible and make it mean whatever you want it to mean, but that doesn't mean it's the right interpretation, which is what we cited earlier, no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation. That's what people have done with this. Not only have they made it a private interpretation, they then make it a private receiving of revelation, which is to justify that, which is a gross abuse of this particular passage. I think the point you're making, which is so helpful here, is Elijah scared to death in the cave of Jezebel and her husband, Ahab, and the Lord is saying, I can deliver any way I want, and you think it should be with the great big things.
Yeah.
I can do it in the small things, Elisha. You have nothing to fear.
Yeah. And the truth is that the as Dr. Bergsma used to say, the select of the elect comes down to a very small number at certain points in the history of redemption. And in fact, in some sense, it came all the way down to one person, that is Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Israel of God. It all came focused down to him. And the visible people of God, the authorities in his life, the religious authorities, tried to kill him, repeatedly tried to murder him. Satan tempted him, and he faced all kinds of challenges. And ultimately, he was crucified, and the disciples abandoned him. And so it's true that God doesn't operate the way we think he should. He doesn't do necessarily the big, grand, glorious things. I mean, who looks for salvation from Joseph's son, right? Aren't you Joseph's son, they said? Who looks for salvation from a crucified fellow? Well, nobody. That's crazy. But in fact, that's where salvation is to be found. And the same Savior who really did obey and really was raised on the third day and really ascended and is seated at the right hand and is ruling everything, he has given us his word once for all. And that word, that written word given through the prophets and apostles by the Holy Spirit, that is sufficient. You don't need to be looking for additional revelation outside of the written word of God, because therein lies not only trouble, but slavery. As you were saying, I can get you to do anything I want if I tell you, well, the Lord told me that you should do X. That's the very kind of bondage from which the Scriptures seek to deliver us.
Right. So we, you know, and this is what was recovered at the time of the Reformation, giving the Bible back to the people. The reality is are we really giving ourselves to listen to the word he has handed us?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really sad, isn't it? When he's handed us an inspired word, Christians don't doubt this is God's word. And we're not satisfied with that. We don't even know that. Look at Bible literacy today. We're sitting in some of the worst, isn't it something, with all the Bibles on our shelves, with all the programs, this is some of the worst illiteracy, biblically speaking, we have ever known in Christianity.
Here's a verse. I'm not sure what you have in front of you, but Deuteronomy 29:29. This, I think, is so helpful.
Yes.
When I learned this verse, it delivered me from so much speculation and uncertainty and doubt and fear. Listen to the word of God. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed in the Scriptures belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And the word law there is Torah, and it means the revelation of God. It doesn't mean necessarily commandments.
That's important, though, the secret things.
Yeah.
God doesn't tell you the secret things.
Yeah.
And you need to be okay with that.
That's right. You need to accept that. You know, Luther called looking for the secret things the theology of glory.
Right.
And, you know, you can make a lot of money. I always tell my students, you'll know I've sold out and gone for the big bucks when you see me on late night TV selling, you know, secret revelations from the Lord about the future and Israel and all of that for $29.95. You know, click on this link now and I'll sell you the secrets for $29. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who's claiming revelations is selling stuff, but Americans are tempted to that. We like that. We like shortcuts. We're busy. We're industrious, and sitting down and reading Scripture is hard work, and we're not really given to that. And that's something of which we need to repent. We need to be Bible readers, and we need to be paying attention to the revealed things in the Scriptures, not the secret things. Again, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children. That's the way of peace. That's the gospel way. That's the way out of uncertainty, doubt, fear, and tyranny.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Jesus was speaking this way everywhere. And he has given us the written word, inspired by the Spirit. We have to remain there. This is why we come to church every week. This is why we hear it proclaimed, read reverently, sit under its proclamation. For there, in that word, God is speaking to us. We want to say that in closing the program today. God does speak.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actively speaking through that word.
Through the word, through the inspired word of God. We hope that helps today through the issue, to think through this issue. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to write to us. Scott, you'll take them all, won't you?
Sure, come on.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.